could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. For just $20 an episode, we'd read your name here, say nice things about you, compliment you on that wonderful haircut, and more. All you have to do is go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor link on the right or on the top bar. Just do it. It'll make your life better. All right. On this episode of Nerd and Tie, we remember Terry Pratchett. For a Nick Wenta KitsuneCon, Chi-Fi is screwing up PR again, Fantasticon Milwaukee is closing its doors, and we got more. No Boys Dorm is running a Kickstarter, Conman's running an Indiegogo campaign for their web series, Kevin Smith's contemplating Mallrats 2, and Sony is screwing themselves over with the Ghostbusters franchise. And welcome to Nerd and Tie.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am one of your hosts, Trey Dorn. Joining me, as always, is the Wondiferous Firsters. And Hi. The finally on camera, because he's shooting from someone else's house, Nick Izumi.
How's it going, everybody? You can see my face.
That's pretty. I'm excited about that.
I like being able to see Nick in all of his John Green glory. I mean,
Hank Green.
It's interchangeable. I am folks, one or the other. Maybe I'm both. They were the same person the whole time.
The number of books that Nick has been asked to sign is truly amazing.
How do you think I make any of the money to buy my Transformers? I just sell Hank and or John Green autographs to preteens. It's great.
Oh, dear.
That's
all right.
All the money's coming.
So, Brilliant. Unfortunately, we have to start out this episode.
Again.
Out of the last four episodes, three of them we've had to start out this way. Unfortunately, we have to mention the passing of a great in science fiction and fantasy, and that is Terry Pratchett passed away age of 66 years old on March 12th, and it's really sad. He was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's back in 2007, and we know he's been in ill health for a while, having to cancel his appearance at the annual Discworld convention last year. He passed away surrounded by his family and cats, according to the official statement. Terry Pratchett is best known for his Discworld series, which is amazing, as well as Good Omens, which he co-wrote with Neil Gaiman, and quite a few other books, but it's, it's not a good thing.
I was actually in the middle of, I think probably the seventh or eighth Discworld novel I've read in just the last, 6 months when this news hit me. And I was, and it was a chapter with death in it, appropriately enough, which, it's worth something.
There's still one more Discworld book coming out that he finished before he died.
I'm really excited for that. And I know his daughter was very, very closely involved with helping him write. And I was of the understanding she's going to keep the disc spinning somehow. But I don't know if there was anyone who was as insightful and consistently insightful, funny, and just always hitting things on the head quite as much as Terry Pratchett. There was his universe is amazing. And that's not even counting just all of the things that he wrote. Just looking at Discworld, what an amazing series, just even on its own. I will always respect the man. I miss him very much.
And you know, I think what I really take away, I think, from it is that, I mean, we're seeing a lot of stuff where people are mourning him. I think in a way that's a little bit different than most authors that I've seen mourned. I mean, you know, most authors feel like, oh, we're going to miss his works. With Terry Pratchett, it's like, obviously we're going to miss him, but a lot of people are sending him off in a sort of not really a sad way.
Yeah, well, you know, I think part of it might. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's one of, like, he had some of the best attitudes on death, I think, that I've ever read from an author.
Yeah, death is this recurring theme in all of his books. Like, it's the character of death is almost always there, and like there's, and it's not, he's treated as this very interesting fellow, not as someone to be feared, so to speak, but more as someone to a very wise character.
Yeah, and that's not something you get, I think, from a lot of authors, and I think maybe that makes his passing, while it's tough, I think a little bit easier. Especially for someone who's witnessed people suffer from Alzheimer's. I mean, it's good that peace has been reached.
Well, the final words on his Twitter account were written as the three tweets of were written in the style of death talking to Terry Pratchett, and where it's at last, Sir Terry, we must walk together. And then followed by Terry took Death's arm and followed him through the doors onto the black desert under the endless night. The end.
I found that really comforting. I honestly found that really comforting. I don't know. The news of his death hit me like a jackhammer. And then to come home to find that online waiting for me was incredibly comforting for me. I don't know, like,
indeed,
such a fantastic person.
He's never really dead as long as his name is spoken, I think, is what, I mean, to use his own words there. So rest in peace, Mr. Pratchett.
Amen to that. So.
Right. Well, oh. Let's go on to, man, you want to talk about a convention palooza. We've got a convention palooza for you guys.
There's a lot to discuss.
There is a lot to discuss. Well, this weekend, we just got back, Nick and I, within the last couple of hours, just got back from Green Bay, Wisconsin, where KitsuneCon was held. For the first time in Green Bay, but for the fourth year, KitsuneCon has been running. And, gosh, I had a pretty good time. What about you, Nick?
I had a really good time. It was another weird con. Because I spent most of it behind an art booth.
Again. Yeah, I spent most of it getting ready for panels, prepping for panels, and hanging out with people that I haven't seen in a while. And I just consistently, I don't know what it is about this convention, but KitsuneCon is consistently the most fun that I have at a convention. I don't know why that it is. Before I always thought it was just the hotel, because the hotel that they were at and Appleton at the Paper Valley Radisson was such a great setup. But this year KitsuneCon moved to Green Bay to the Hyatt on Main and the KI Convention Center in downtown Green Bay, and it was just, even with the construction mess that was going on in that convention center, it was still an unbelievably fun time.
I'm looking forward to when they're done with the construction, though, because I thought if there's anything that was detrimental to the weekend, it was the venue.
It was very narrow hallways in some places.
It was narrow hallways, and the panel rooms were hidden.
They were.
Like, you could not. It was very hard to find the panel rooms. And another set of them were on the exact other side of the building. It was a real pain in the arse there.
It is. And I mean, and that's something that's all going to get fixed, because I think that next year when that's done, it's 78,000 square feet of convention space.
Mm.
Dude, that's huge.
That's huge. And I mean, even – and oh, I just – gosh, I think my favorite moment was – and I told this story in the warm-up, and I think it bears sharing, repeating here, was was it Saturday night? I was meeting up with some friends, and along the way, there was an individual who was playing guitar in the lobby, and I was struck of a conversation with a couple of girls who had been very much enjoying their evening, as it were. And it came up discussion that I would really like this movie coming out called Paper Towns, and I'm like, well, you know, I got something to show you. Pulled out my phone and brought up a picture of me and Nick at Anime Milwaukee, and it said, look who I've met. And their response was, oh my God, you've met Hank Green.
That's right. So I've been mistaken for John Green before. Hank is kind of a new one, so I am now both of the Green brothers, for anyone keeping track.
I held it together just long enough for them to walk away thinking they like they were now 1 degree away from Hank Green.
I can't wait till I get a cease and desist order from the Green siblings to stop impersonating them.
Stop but, looking like them, Nick.
Hey, Fur, do not tell me to stop that. How do you think I afford my Transformers? I sell autographs to preteens. I don't take that from me.
Spell it out. No. Lots of fun times happening at CinCon. Nick and I, we performed with the Otaku Tonight crew. Probably the best performance we've ever had. Easily the most well attended.
We had a very an excellent Who's Line. I was really proud of our Who's Line set. And I was also stupidly proud of our stand-up sets.
Everything went so well.
Very good.
We had a lot of people. I think my favorite compliment I got was somebody walked out of the – I'm not going to name who it was because I don't want to give this guy any publicity because I don't think he deserves any. One of the other Who's Line panels, I attended just to check on it. And one person, like, walked out, and as they were walking out, turned to me and said – yours and your team was so much funnier.
As a former convention organizer, we all are, but...
We all are, yeah.
If you have two people submitting the same panel, say no to one of them. This isn't even judgmental about whether or not this guy was any good, or, you know, I know you guys are funny because of... seen you guys do stuff, but regardless of whether Kitsune needed to either say no to him or say no to you.
Well,
there were four Who's Line panels.
There were
two that were like specific to
very
fandom
specific.
Specific ones. I mean, that's were those organized by the same person or different?
No,
people?
No. These were different people, and I think even the guidebook, the Power Rangers one, it was really funny because it was like, do you like improv comedy? Do you like Power Rangers? Do you like comedy about Power Rangers? It's like you're narrowing it down, guys. You're narrowing it down.
Well, that I get. I get the themed ones, but. Two general Who's... I mean, first off, does any con need four Who's Line panels? But even then, like this guy who did the other one titled it Whose Line Is It Anime, which is exactly what you guys title it. And I think you guys have been doing it longer.
Fairly certain. We kind of got it from a Daisho crew used to do it, and then they stopped doing it, and that same person who was organizing it ended up on our team anyway. Awesome Sydney Velociraptor Staffel, if you're wondering.
Scheduling was a little bit weird at Kitsune. That's one of the only things is that the guidebook, the events that happened this weekend were a little bit not terribly wide range of things. Like, you can tell at some points they were definitely searching for more panel space or more panels to take in. And I think that's what the issue was, is that not enough people submitted panels.
On the other hand, there were a lot of good things at the con. Like we said, a lot of really great people. I had a lot of fun selling art and running.
The vendor room was excellent.
I ran into some really weird people this weekend. Like, someone came up to our booth asking for Robotech fan art. Robotech fan art, not Macross. They made that very clear. Specifically for Robotech fan art.
Wait, what's the difference in visuals for the Macross sections?
What?
Well, they wanted Robotech fan art, and I'm assuming they didn't want like
Moss or Moss Pita. You're correct.
Right, but if you give them fan art from the Macross era of Robotech, yes, the audio is different, but the visuals are the same.
Well, yeah, but they didn't know who we were talking about, because I automatically, because that's the thing, I interchangeably, because I started with Robotech, I can't hate it in and of itself.
Well, yeah.
But I automatically say Hikaru. I don't say Rick. So it's like, oh, you mean Hikaru? Who is that? Rick Hunter. Okay. Then, yeah, there was a language barrier for a little bit. Yeah. It was a little weird. Also, no one knew who Lupin the Third was. I thought that was a little...
How?
Not no one, but most people did not seem to know who Lupin the Third was.
Wasn't there a recent series, even?
There was
a woman called Fuko Mine.
Yeah, and it was probably the best one they've ever done.
It was incredible.
Yeah, a woman called Fujiko Mine, one of the best series they've ever done. But no. Yeah.
Hermes said Fujiko, so I had to say
Did. Yeah, I'm sorry.
How can you say Fujiko wrong?
But what else?
For your part of the problem.
What else was weird was that, meanwhile, my fiance Reyna, who was, you know, in charge of the art booth, was cosplaying a character from a spinoff of a show that no one remembers, and at least a dozen people knew who she was. And
who
one of
cosplaying?
Them even had the Japanese-only PlayStation game about her. Nurse Witch Kamugi-chan.
That's right. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, no one knows what that is. I'm surprised I know what that is. But more people know.
You guys still there?
Yes. Yeah. What's up?
I don't know. There we go.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
Sorry, folks. We had
Mark Space.
They can't handle Nick's visual being here. It's too awesome.
It literally, we had a weird frag out during a camera angle switch, but everything kept recording.
Good, perfect. So, all right.
That works.
So, we're back.
No, it was a really fun little event. I had fun. I can't wait till the construction is over, though, because that sucked.
Well, and the thing is, they have a little bit more time to finish it, too, because the KitsuneCon in 2015 will not be happening until mid to late July next year.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Changing their dates.
Yep, they're changing their dates. 2015, we're going to be a busy bunch of guys in 2015. I'm just saying that now.
Wait, what weekend?
I want to say the last weekend in July of 2016, rather.
I may or may not be in Wisconsin then.
29th through the 31st, I believe, is when they are going to be next year.
Interesting.
Reyna was talking about, she was wondering if that's going to collide with Anime Iowa, but...
They're usually... In August, aren't they? Or sometimes in July.
I don't know.
They're usually around mid to late July also.
Okay, yeah, because I know she's been selling with Angry Fox LLC the last couple of years, so...
Well, you know, with WasabiCon gone, there's a hole in the calendar right there. And next year, Anime Milwaukee is going to be in March.
Yep.
Because of their venue, so... It's actually probably it's really good for the con. You know, the funny thing is I keep wanting to go to KitsuneCon, but I literally purposefully always take July off of conventions. Like, because there are other cons I could go to, but I usually just skip anything in summer, which is why I never went to WasabiCon.
Except when you were there, but you weren't.
Well, I wasn't at the con. I drove through town. I went to a restaurant in town. I never set foot in the convention.
But it's the reason why we're even recording this right now. So that's
true. That's true. All right.
But KitsuneCon, as always, A+. They're fun. They're a lot of fun. It's a good time. It's good to see people and perform and bring laughter.
You know what else was this last weekend, Nick?
From what I hear, Chi-Fi convention and all sorts of insanity. So, if there's anything we learned back in episode 13 of this very show, we talked about Chi-Fi convention and how the staff were, well, canceling and making up all sorts of crazy lies about the hotel and how unpleasant they were to work with and how it wasn't their fault. Yeah. Well, guess what? Chi-Fi Attempt 2 Electric Boogaloo was filled with all sorts of other hilarious issues. What were they calling it? So basically we had a how not to PR situation. That's a quick way of describing this. Issues with Steve Jackson for one. then also Geek Girl Chicago. So
both
many
of whom
problems.
Were listed all weekend still as guests at the con.
Mm-hmm. Both of them ended up not going due to, who would have guessed, Chi-Fi's own screw-ups. Geek Girl Chicago described such things as them not returning calls, accusing them of lying, all sorts of... I'm only actually recently catching up on the insanity here, and I'm
nuts.
A little overwhelmed. This
it's
is
nuts.
Overwhelmed is. Or,
I don't.
Well, this is where Nick is. There we go. Over.
I don't understand how anybody like can be this bat crazy insane.
Well, look at even I guess the specifics. Like Steve Jackson put on his own site, I will not be appearing due to bad communications and non-payment. They didn't even pay him.
He never got reimbursed for his plane ticket.
Incredible.
That is just skeezy. They showed him as a, they continued to show him as a guest even after he said he's not going to be there. And I love in his own website putting, I know their website still shows me as a guest. This is incorrect. And if you are acquainted with anyone on this committee, feel free to point that out to them. I think that's charming. Geek Girl Chicago was a lot, also post some, their own,
yeah, it's one person.
Crap. Or excuse me, Geek Girl Chicago. I'm not familiar
she
with
the blog.
I should really look at her blog. It looks fantastic, actually.
She's a geek and girl in Chicago.
I've never looked at her stuff, but holy crap. Yeah, her own stuff is just getting asked to take down her blog, talking about all of the crap that happened to her.
Yeah, they threatened her blog.
Yeah, threatening
it's
this
crazy.
Blogger who they were supposed to bring in as a guest. How do you do this? How are you this bad at PR, Chi-Fi?
And they were still listing her as a guest throughout the whole weekend on the website.
That's how amazing
this is.
Incroyable.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to make of Chi-Fi anymore. Like, last year, I just was like, what? And this year, I'm like, you guys learned nothing.
So basically,
they are bad at everything.
At this point, people should probably feel free to not ever attend.
Well, you know, as I kept thinking about it, because it's only like an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me. So, you know, it's always this, like, consideration of do I want to... Like, but last year, they ran Chi-Fi Zero after they lost their venue. Like, they still ran a micro event, and they had stuff about, like, maybe possible vendors on their website. I emailed them and never got a response, ever, at any point last year. And from what I've heard from people who went, that they were asking vendors to sell out of their hotel rooms. Like, they didn't have a vendor room. At their Zero event last year, they, like... That hasn't been acceptable at a con since, like, 1973. You know?
God.
Like, yes, historically, some cons did that. But it was dumb.
I don't even...
Yeah.
That's magical. This is really magical. Nope. I got nothing. I don't even know where to go beyond this. This is just making me depressed.
Well...
Let's move on. Trey, what's going on with some other cons that...
Maybe? Let's talk about other depressing things.
Oh,
boy. Oh, great.
Let's do this
last October, Milwaukee had a new convention called Fantasticon. This is not to be confused with the touring Fantasticon shows, which, like, Fantasticon Toledo's happening in April. No relation to the Fantasticon in Milwaukee. No relation to the National Science Fiction Convention of Denmark, Fantasticon, and no relation to the Fantasticon in Hull, UK. How did no one get sued? Anyways.
Is it at least related to Fantasticon 4, the con that was sent into space and came back with ridiculous powers?
Boo!
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 Anyways. And stop.
I'm going to beat you up later, Nick. Anyways, Fantasticon Milwaukee, again, its own thing, has announced internally. They have not made any public statements about this, but on their internal Facebook group, the con chair, Henry Jones, announced, and yes, his name is Henry Jones, not a professor. Henry Jones.
Junior. Junior.
Henry Jones, their con chair, announced to their private Facebook group that Fantasticon would not be holding a second event, that they are out of money and done. And then, amazingly,
it got
went
weird.
To blame. they blamed the local geek community, saying, well, apparently they don't really want a convention.
Despite the fact that there's a convention in Milwaukee that brings in 6,500 people every single year.
I think 7,500 was their number for this year.
Was it? Jeez. It's huge.
Yeah, which, again, you know, is not huge in the grand scale of, like, say, the Wizard World events, but still sizable.
Right. And
so, but Henry Jones went on to blame the people who did show up not buying enough autographs. And yeah, lots of puzzling, ridiculous things.
Magical.
And, like, he goes on in the comment thread to this. I've been sent screenshots from multiple people. He goes on in the comment thread that as far as more bang for the buck, AwesomeCon rented out the entire Wisconsin Center and sold zero advance tickets. Milwaukee simply doesn't want a con. That's something can be debated. Two cons came to town and neither survived. Milwaukee has one con, Anime Milwaukee, and that's it. Well, let's go back to this. First off, it's amazing for him to put AwesomeCon up on the cross. AwesomeCon, of course, was originally going to run an event last November and then canceled the show before it happened. There's a couple of reasons. I actually spoke with Ben Penrod about this, the chair of AwesomeCon.
Yeah, we had a couple discussions with that guy.
Yeah, but about this particular thing. AwesomeCon, according to him, I mean, okay, first off, according to my own sources, that long before I ever talked with, like, this is not something I've discussed with Ben Penrod, period. And then and my discussion with Ben Penrod was in a Facebook comment section, so this is not exactly a private conversation. AwesomeCon, prior to like when they were announced it's still happening, the Fantasticon staff was literally emailing people who said they were going to go to AwesomeCon and telling them not to.
Oh.
The Fantasticon staff went on a whole thing where they, like, were like, don't let these carpetbaggers come in here and, like, we're real Wisconsin locals. Don't let these out-of-towners take over. That is literally Fantasticon's doing. Fantasticon spent the entire lead-up to AwesomeCon trying to sabotage AwesomeCon. Apparently, also, Fantasticon tried to reserve the Wisconsin Center for 2016... Or for 2015, this is the current year, 2015, and in their original contract would have set in a non-compete that wouldn't have allowed AwesomeCon to come back in 2015. So the financial issues with AwesomeCon Indianapolis were a large factor, and low pre-reg for AwesomeCon Milwaukee. Those are both factors in the canceling of AwesomeCon Milwaukee. But no matter what, due to Fantasticon's contract, based on the people I've talked to, it sounds like AwesomeCon wouldn't have been able to run a 2015 event no matter
Incredible.
What. And so, no matter what, AwesomeCon was going to be out of Milwaukee probably after 2014, no matter what, because of actions taken by the Fantasticon staff. So, for Fantasticon to put AwesomeCon up on a cross as part of the people specifically responsible for making sure a Milwaukee show didn't happen is a little insane. Secondly, Fantasticon Milwaukee, which, again, these are people who don't own the trademark to their own convention name. Someone else does. Again, Fantasticon Toledo in April. Fantasticon actually had a decent turnout for a first-year convention. I don't have exact numbers, but based on what I heard, they had like a four-digit number, which for a first-year convention in a market like Milwaukee is very good. Now, for those people not buying autographs, the people who take a risk on a first-year convention are the people who go to, like, five or six cons a year. There is a consumer in Milwaukee looking for the mega convention. There is a consumer in Wisconsin looking for that. Wizard World Wisconsin and Madison did excellently this last winter. They did great. They exceeded their expectations, according to Wizard World.
Don't go to cons who went there.
Exactly.
Right. That's the thing, is the people who go to those autograph cons, who spend tons of money on autographs, those people do one or two cons a year. Those people went to Wizard World, to Wisconsin, to the Madison, but they also already go to a plethora of events in Chicago an hour and a half away. There are massive mega conventions an hour and a half away. Lastly, Fantasticon's advertising never reached that consumer. Fantasticon's advertising was solely focused on some local stuff, but they barely reached out to the regional con scene. And the consumer who goes for those autograph cons does not see any of the local comic book shop ads or anything like that that they did try to do.
Were they I recall hearing about this. Weren't they that one that had like John Barrowman like or something
yes.
like that? Yeah,
which John Barrowman's actually a pretty easy get for Milwaukee. John Barrowman is actually not hard to get if you live in Milwaukee because his sister Carol lives in my parents' neighborhood. Was my mom's advisor when she went back to college.
Wow,
like. It was a revelatory day in the Dorn household when my mom figured out that John Barrowman was Carol Barrowman's brother because my mother is a big Doctor Who fan and didn't know until, like, and she was, yeah. Anyways, doesn't matter. So Fantasticon has gone on a rant. Amazingly, like, random stuff is now disappearing from the Fantasticon Facebook page. Like, some guy had posted a thing asking about 2015 dates, and that went away. I know along with like some random other Facebook posts have just been like popping off of their page. I don't know why, but it's just craziness, man.
It's nuts. Oh,
Fantasticon's a mess.
It is. I just love the comment. There's only one con in Milwaukee. That makes me happy.
I can name five off the top of my head. Let's see. Anime Milwaukee. Fine. Nozomi-Con. Consinity, which is also Capicon. Those two cons merged into one event. Let's see. Mighty Con and Midwest Gaming Classic, the big retro gaming convention. All five of those. And there are more. Those are just the ones I know off the top of my head.
It's almost like they didn't know what they were talking about.
It's almost like Henry Jones is... We're talking
about a guy who didn't even Google the name of his own convention to know that there is actually a touring for-profit convention named Fantasticon that is literally, like, he literally is so lucky they didn't sue him. It's like if I named my con Wizard World.
You would get that.
What about World of Wizards?
Or when UW-Eau Claire named an event Gen Con.
is oh.
And got contacted by the legal department for Gen Con.
I think Henry Jones might be the worst person on the podcast tonight.
Oh, Henry my Jones, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Good.
Let's all point and laugh. Oh. All right.
All right. We should.
Enough of that.
Move on.
Probably move
Forget
on.
Forget that guy. Forget
while
that
While we're
guy.
Still talking about. While we're still talking about conventions, I do want to mention that both Nick and I will be at Kuroshikon.
Would that be another Milwaukee convention, by any
No,
chance?
That's in DeKalb, Illinois.
Oh,
that's
okay.
In DeKalb, Illinois. And that is at Northern Illinois University. And that is March 28th. March 28th.
So the following weekend, the weekend following this this
The
release.
Weekend between shows.
Yeah, it's. I went to Kuroshi last year, really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to going again.
Yeah, I wanted to go to it last year, but I had another show on, like, Sunday last year. But that show's moved to April for this year, so I can do both.
And
it's free. It's a free con.
Yeah, and if you live in the area, there's no reason not to go. It's a lot of fun.
Go say hi to Nick and Trey. I won't be there, but we'll all be together at No Brand in a month. So
buy art.
Yeah. Yeah, buy that stuff.
Buy comics from me.
Buy
Maybe Nick and I
comics.
Will do a secret podcast without fur.
It is what it is.
I mean, you guys could have done one at Kitsune.
We could have. Yeah, that really would require a lot more motivation than what I had.
Yeah, I didn't really. Yeah,
I was too busy coming up with Americanized names for classic 90s anime characters for no good reason.
And I was busy filming Vines with Bal Flanagan and Beck Nelson. It was great.
Wow, like, what kind of 90s name were you coming up with? Like, Randy Sautomi?
Well, right now, I don't want to, for some reason, I'm just going to say that that there were a couple Evangelion characters who I thought needed new names, like Steve McClintock. That's Kaji. He's Steve McClintock. And there's no good reason I'm doing this, but yes.
Perfect.
Right. There's always a reason. There's always a good reason.
So, man, moving on to go check Nick and Trey out at Kuroshikon March 28th. Everybody, go do it.
It'll do be it. Fun. Take so. Your Jedi weapon and strike them down.
That was horrifying. But moving on. We've got a couple of big projects that have just been announced, including one that we're all really excited about here at NerdFi. Of course, we're all huge fans of the My Immortal Web series from Media Junkie Studios. Of course, it ran from 2013 to 2014. It has two seasons, and it's a web series loosed basically on the infamous
loosed basically
loosed very basically. Did I say loose basically?
You said loose
yes,
basically.
You did.
Based loosely. I stopped. Apparently, all my drinking is still in my system.
Loose basically.
Loose basically. That's why
we have an episode title.
That's Nick. That's when we do weird newscasters next. I'm going to be high. I'm loose basically. stop. We need to go on. Based very loosely on the infamous fan fiction of the same name. Well, Media Junkie Studios has announced that they are doing a follow-up series called No Boys Dorm, a shoujo-inspired spiritual sequel to the My Immortal Web series. Of course, this is going to be basically all we know about it is that it follows a girl named Laura No, who is escaping a criminal past, but has to move after a fire destroys her Toronto apartment. She has to move in with her brother Leon to an all boys dorm at a mysterious academy known only as the Academy.
The Academy.
The Academy. They have a trailer out, and it looks very interesting. It's very mysterious. It doesn't give a lot of away about what it is, but you get this feeling that there's going to be some very dark, mysterious thing happening. And they are asking for $10,000. There's 2 weeks left to go on it, and they're up to $2,500. So
I'm behind anything that these people do because they're very.
I've already contributed.
Yeah. If you can contribute, go for it. They're a very talented group of individuals. A lot of good stuff has come out of the My Immortal web series. A lot of good representation stuff has come out of the My Immortal web series, which I think we need more of. So I can only imagine how good No Boys Dorm is going to be.
And it features a lot of the same cast.
Mm. Yeah, the cast list, I mean, I would say probably like... There are six cast members from the My Immortal web series who are going to be in this web series.
At least, yeah.
So, phenomenal people, phenomenally talented individuals. Let's get them their stuff.
Yeah, it's an ambitious project, and it's a really high goal. Like, they only raised, like, $2,000 to do the second season of My Immortal. But they want to be able to pay their crew and pay their actors this time around. You know, which would be nice. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's... I think it's an uphill battle. I'm actually worried about them making their goal. But so please, please contribute because I want to watch this show. And, yeah.
We want the world to enjoy it.
Indeed.
So
let's make it happen, everybody.
Go, team, go!
You guys wait. You just got the Nerd and Tie bump. Just went out.
It's worth
nickel.
Getting fur to donate.
Yeah.
There. Yeah. We talked about it. So now we'll guilt fur into donating. Hey,
let's
fur.
Do this.
Give him
I was
money.
Doing it. I was doing it this week anyway. Once I got paid.
The bump.
So
worth every. It just went up 25 cents just now. That was us.
All right. What else? So check out their Kickstarter page. Watch the My Immortal web series if you haven't already. You'll get an idea of how good this crew is. So do it.
Looking at some other stuff on the web series front. A couple of guys you might have heard of are working on a web series. These guys, Alan Tudyk, Nathan Fillion.
I think that's how you pronounce their names.
I think that's...
Tudyk.
I don't know. Tudyk.
Loose Basely. Anyway, that's how you pronounce their names.
Loose Basely.
These two guys, they're trying to put... They just ran an incredibly successful Indiegogo campaign. Just blew it out of the water for a little series called Con Men. And I don't know. The story sounds a little out there. Tudyk is playing a guy who used to be on this cult sci-fi show that got canceled too soon, and he was the pilot on this spaceship, and Fillion was the captain on that ship. Totally, it's about Firefly, okay? I'm not even... It's about Fire. They used to be on Firefly. They're not going to say it. I'm trying to just...
Well...
Make a living doing convention experience.
Well, yeah, it's where Alan Tudyk's character has never gotten any more famous and makes a living doing conventions. Nathan Fillion's character has gone on to be super successful. But unlike Nathan Fillion, who's only TV famous now with Castle, Nathan Fillion's character is going to end up having been like Matt Damon-level movie successful. So... That would be the difference between reality and the show.
Well, you know, Tudyk's still one of my favorite character actors. Like, I enjoy when he shows up in anything.
He's done some great voice work for Disney between Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen.
He's done a lot of, like, some smaller stuff, too. A lot of the, I mean, well, Fillion can say this, too, but they, the straight-to-video DC movies, they're both in a lot of, and... They're really good in those.
Yeah. So they ran an Indiegogo campaign to do the show and blew their goal out of the water.
Yeah, it's they've lapped it, I think, numerous times.
Yeah. Well, because the show's going to be really about behind the scenes of conventions. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I think behind the scenes of conventions are highly entertaining. And Unconventional Book 5 is available on Amazon.com right now.
Oh, good.
In all of its wonderfulness. Right now.
I'm glad that happened.
Available for only $25.
Oh, my God.
Eligible for free Super Saver shipping on orders of $35 or more. So when buying it, why not pick up earlier volumes of the book and get free shipping?
I can't.
We can't take you anywhere, Trey. Okay. Move on.
Okay. Moving on. Speaking of people doing things that no one else wants them to.
Aww.
Kevin Smith has pretty much announced he's going back to the well.
He's not done in the other well. Which well? What do you mean?
So, we all know Clerks 3 goes into production this year.
Boy,
which is unfortunate. And I believe my words when that was announced was, why? And I say this as a fan of actually both of the Clerks movies. Both the original and the second.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, after he's done with his two announced the miniseries Hit Somebody and Moose Jaws, which is the follow-up to Yoga Hosers, which comes out in June. Yoga Hosers, of course, the follow-up to Tusk.
Ah, right. Of course.
That's it's a movie about two side characters in Tusk who weren't part of the main weirdo plot. He's going to make... So after he's done with those films, he's going to make Mallrats 2.
Why not?
Of course.
Why?
Because... I don't know. Why would I want that?
Okay, so... I like Mallrats.
Clerks 3. And he hasn't even made that yet.
Okay, so Clerks 3 I thought was stupid because Clerks 2 was a really nice ending for those characters. Like, I felt like he finished the story. But it is entirely plausible that Dante will screw his life up again. Because that's what he does. So I can see how I can get a third movie out of the Clerks characters, right? Like, I think it's dumb, but I get it. Mallrats 2, though? First off, we actually know what happened to all those characters because they had an epilogue to that film telling you. And we saw more epilogue for those characters, for at least for Jason Lee's character in Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back. There's no more story. Secondly, they're going to have to do something that doesn't take place at a mall, most likely, because malls are shutting down across the country. Malls are going to stop being a thing. They're still a thing now, but barely. Like, it's...
You know, like the Stevens Point Mall that was an air-conditioned hallway until they bulldozed it?
Yeah. So Mallrats 2 is happening, whether we want it or not. He's got
whether
like
we
half
want
a script
it or not
right
is
now.
All of our movie news tonight.
God. So Kevin Smith.
This is not a happy episode. Kitsune.
I'm your core demographic. I am the guy who like
there he is. He's right there.
Followed your career. Don't make this movie. Please. It's early enough where you can turn back. You don't have to make this happen. Kevin Smith, I know you listen to me. Please, God, don't do this. I beg of you.
Kevin Smith, you don't know me, but I know your soul. Don't do it. Or I will take your foot and shove it in your ear. That's my new thing. I come up with insults that, or, and threats that don't make any
sense. I'm gonna play the role that I always do. Could be good.
No, Furry.
Shut up.
Could be good. It will definitely be good. It will be
It'll
the best small rat.
Maybe be good.
Ever.
I don't know.
It's gonna be great. Like, can't wait.
Well, it's true that like Jason Lee's not doing much anything right now. You don't really need the same London brother. Either London brother will work.
Are they as replaceable as the Green Brothers? Because
hmm?
Are they as replaceable as the Green Brothers? Because you know,
well, they're identical twins.
Oh,
I actually can't ever remember which London is in Mallrats and which one's in Dazed and Confused because they're opposite brothers, and it's not like they haven't played each other's parts. They both played the same character in two different episodes of Outer Limits, where they did a follow-up episode to an earlier one, but switched London brothers. Nobody could tell.
Wow.
Well, they're identical twins.
Right. That's still...
And they're both good actors.
Oh, well, that's good.
I'll be nice. But so, but... what are the London brothers doing? We just need one of them. Jason Lee's not doing anything. Shannon Doherty?
Okay, yeah.
Claire Floriani's actually done things in the last 5 years, so she might be busy.
Well, Kevin Smith has another uphill battle to make us all regret going to movie theaters again.
And Michael Rooker can take time going to time off going to Walking Dead conventions. Oh God, let's move on.
Let's get on to the next thing.
I don't know that the next thing is any better.
No, it really isn't.
So Sony, if there's one thing we can count on Sony for it, especially their movie department, it's screwing everything up. They don't know how to handle franchises. We watched Spider-Man continue to just live, die, repeat. He's like a crappy version of Edge of Tomorrow, really. Just we get a new... But now they want to screw up Ghostbusters. They're already ready to screw up Ghostbusters. So we had the female Ghostbusters announced. We were excited for it.
We're excited about that. Episodes.
Yeah, that looked really good. So how has Sony reacted to all of these sexist, you know, crybabies saying, oh, don't ruin our Ghostbusters? They're offering a Ghostbusters expanded universe, where they'll follow up the female Ghostbusters with another Ghostbusters, a dude's Ghostbusters. Yeah. And then you can build a ghost-busting universe with... This is the dumbest thing ever.
It really is.
I'm just...
You okay, Fur? You have Executron in your house. Are you okay?
Exactly.
Oh my God!
Can do it for me. I'm done.
So, that's covered up by his lower third, isn't it? Yeah, Executron's covered up by his lower third.
Oh, I
have the other Executron in my house. So, anyways,
they're like Ultron. There's tons of them.
Why?
Okay, so
because they need to undermine female Ghostbusters before it even comes out, I guess.
Well, there's a theory. This is all like money. About getting back at Amy Pascal, because she's the one who shepherded this project forward, and now that she's out, that yeah, it's ridiculous.
So again, was the original Ghostbusters gimmick casting because it was an all dudes group? Really? This is really infuriating. This is so stupid. Well,
okay, so because what this does is it tells the consumer that the all-women Ghostbusters isn't the real one, and that'll be the next movie. Like, that's really what this is telling people, which is going to cause people not to go see the first one, which will torpedo the second one and end the whole franchise.
Well, why would you even want a Ghostbusters universe? What does that even mean?
Well, there's So this is the ridiculousness, is they've insisted that's because they want to do an expanded universe with multiple Ghostbusters teams in the same world, which I understand, and, like, there's a feasible plot there. But here's the thing. Paul Feig, the guy doing the next movie, who is – he's spouting the company line because he wants to keep his movie promoted. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He wants his movie to be successful. But he has admitted he knew nothing about this. They never talked to him about it. He knows nothing about what's happening in the Channing Tatum, who is going to star. So, yeah, this all-dude Ghostbusters is going to star Channing Tatum, most likely, and will probably be directed by the Russo brothers. Like, all of that is, like, good stuff if it weren't for the fact that it's undermining, like, this really promising-looking film.
Yep.
Gross.
And, like, even Hollywood, if you're going to do this, even if you're going to do this sort of thing, you don't want to announce it until after you've successfully launched the Paul Feig project, because you're saying that this, you're implying that this doesn't count. You're Osborne affecting yourself.
Well, funny you'd mention Osborne. Because, I mean, all I'm reminded of is their last thing about, oh, we're going to build this Spider-Man universe. And they announce all these movies thinking this is going to be great. And then Amazing Spider-Man 2, they didn't do well enough for them. So they just throw it all in the garbage can. It's the same thing. You can't, when you're building a movie universe, which is admittedly still kind of a new thing, you can't just count your chickens before there are even eggs. Like...
Yeah. It's insane. Well, you know what it is? That the Marvel Cinematic Universe is what everybody wants to imitate. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe, people don't remember, was built up over a really long time. When Iron Man was made...
They didn't have an idea really yet for
it. It was a dream. It was a dream to do a shared universe. They did that cameo at the end because, like, oh, we'd love to do this, but they had no real belief that it was going to happen. And then when Incredible Hulk happened... And they were able to integrate it. That's when you felt that they were. That's when they began to throw their weight behind it. And of course, Incredible Hulk was not a financially big movie for them.
No,
it was. It really didn't do any better than the Ang Lee movie.
In fact, it seems like they don't want to admit that one happened half the time.
Well, they do, but
they kind of do. Yeah,
they don't want to like deal with it too much because you have to like it draws attention to the fact that they recast a major character.
And that the leader is, in theory, running around somewhere. And
Well, you know, it's entirely possible S.H.I.E.L.D. scooped him off screen. Scooped him up off screen. Put him in a box. Shot him in the head.
James Olmos, you bastard. Oh, never mind.
No, Nick Fury did it. You know, this happened long enough ago.
Oh, dear. But I'm disappointed. I shouldn't be surprised because it's effing Sony. But I'm
disappointed.
thanks, Hercules.
Evil Hercules.
Evil Hercules.
I tried to remember what I was watching, where some guy like yelled in that exact voice, "Disappointing!" Like, I think it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this last week.
Yeah.
And I'm watching that episode.
That was Sky's dad.
As Moadib. Yells, disappointing. And I went, wow, it's Mirror Universe Hercules.
Oh, man.
Because they did the inflection, like, exactly the same.
I
don't know if it was on purpose or an accident, but it was beautiful.
The difference was it worked in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It wasn't embarrassing.
I was really proud of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s representation of, was it McGuanago?
Manitowoc.
Yep. Sorry. I just watched this whole thing about...
On my way to Kitsune. I was very happy. I was Manitowoc. Like, here's you, Colton.
Wherever they used as their fake Manitowoc actually is, like, really good for, like, the same kind of architecture you find in the downtown, like, when they drove into the city.
Yeah, it looked like Wisconsin. That made me
happy. Yeah, no, that was a really good location. Because, obviously, they weren't going to fly out to, you know... rural Wisconsin to, you know, get the shots. So they picked a really good location for, like, the right architecture and stuff.
Yeah. That about made my night. I took to pretty much every social media thing I could to celebrate.
See, I watch it on Hulu, so I didn't watch it till the next day. But yeah, because I don't have normal cable. I have Sling TV.
There was one of my favorite other dumb blogs I follow. Totally Legit Shield. That's nothydra.tumblr.com, which is run by a legitimate Shield agent who is not a member of Hydra. Was also really excited about that. He was suggesting they go to the Dells after they were done there. He was really happy. That is one of the funniest blogs I follow right now. But I think with that happier note, I think we should move on to the mailbag.
We do need mailbag.
Yeah. And mailbag, we did get random Ramblings fan, we did get your email, but it was so full of spoilers for Agent Carter that we've decided not to read it because, we didn't want to spoil Agent Carter that much for people. I'm very sorry. This is the first time we haven't read your letter on when you've sent one in, so.
It's a great letter. Great letter. We would have loved to have read it, but yeah, looking at it, we're like, unfortunately, there's people that are still just catching up on Agent Carter, and we don't want to take away anything from people yet. So, with that, should we do? I'll take one that we got from Zach Fisher, and Zach writes, "I was listening to last Fortnite's episode, 3/8/2015 episode, and it got me thinking. If you guys could create one comic based sitcom, what characters would you use, and which universe? Hoping you're all having a wonderful Fortnite and staying safe, Zach." Zach, Great Lakes Avengers, the sitcom.
I would love that.
I want that to happen.
That would really be awesome.
I think I would also want to do one in the Marvel Universe. He'd probably just be a spinoff character. And maybe it's because I mentioned that blog I like. I love Bob, Agent of Hydra. He is a Deadpool character who joined Hydra because the benefits that they gave were better than his regular job. And he's just trying to make ends meet. And he's pretty much, and like the slightest thing, like there'll be, will make him just suddenly stand up and "Hail Hydra." "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wilson." He's just a great character. I would love something like The Tick about him. That would be great.
Well, for me, what I would like to see is Miss Marvel.
Yes.
Holy crap. Yes.
Because the home stuff is my favorite stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the stuff with her friends and trying to manage stuff with high school is, and I think it's far more entertaining than any of the stuff Spider-Man ever had to put up with. So,
the relationship with Kamala and her parents is, and her brother, just great. I love that book. I love every chapter.
Mm. Oh.
I think Trey wins.
We may have lost the video for this episode entirely.
Damn it. That's because there could be no proof that I was on the show.
Okay. Perfect. Well, we have one more letter, I believe, and then we have the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Yes, we do.
All right, next letter is from Reyna Innocenti, who some of you know is my fiancé person.
Fiancé person.
It's official. Her subject is Naruto musical casting and costumes done right. Everyone shocked. And she sent us a link, and I imagine we can post this on the site later. Basically, it's just saying,
For the video versions, I'll hold up photos.
Yeah, she just says, "Feel like you should see
this." Of course,
this
may not go up on YouTube at all.
Hey,
that house was really well done.
Anyway, what she says is, "Feel like you should see this because it's too good not to share." Really, that's it. She just wanted to show off these. Apparently, there's a Naruto musical because we needed that. But the costumes actually are really good.
They're phenomenal. Like, I am shocked at how well these costumes are.
And our video, there's not going to be a video version of this episode. So
darn it.
And the live stream dropped out while I was showing those.
It was too awesome for the live stream, which is saying a lot, because I think all of us are kind of a little above. I at least Naruto seemed like it was for people younger than me. Then again, Reyna's like only like a year younger than me, so what do I know? I never got into it, but the costumes are phenomenal. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
I can.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We're having all sorts of issues here tonight.
There could be no. Hey, I'm on a good internet connection. It's not my fault.
No, it's entirely my connection to Ustream keeps going down. So everyone's gets to listen to the audio version, and it'll be fine.
And you don't get to see Nick, I guess.
I know. We finally had Nick on camera for an episode, and it's just an abject failure. Like, this is great. This is like how the first episode we ever had, like, good video for, that got lost. And now that we, like, had Nick on camera. We had Nick on camera.
For those who didn't see, it's because the internet couldn't handle my divine sexiness.
It's because there can't be three Green Brothers on the internet.
There can't be three Green Brothers on the internet. I am the lost one. Oh, man. I will take back my throne.
All right.
Let's get on to the Vomit Hats Steve Challenge.
Let's move on to the Vomit Hats Steve Challenge. All right. Now, for those of you who don't know, every episode we have the Vomit Hats Steve Challenge, as I'm trying to get things to load up here. What the Vomit Hats Steve Challenge is that I read a portion of a book every episode. If you can guess what book it is, you get entered into our Hall of Awesome. The following people are in the Hall of Awesome. Arkami, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, and Chris Graham. The only benefit of being in the Hall of Awesome is that I read your name in this segment. That's it. But that's a pretty awesome benefit. I'm gesturing to a camera that no one can see. Now, for the last several episodes, I've been reading sections of the same book. Because no one has guessed it or gotten close. We've had people guess, and they've gotten it completely wrong. I'm going to read another sentence from this book. Off the same page as all the other ones. Hurrying across the dark street, carrying a torch and hastily drawn map. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and tell us. Or if you have anything else you'd like to tell us, go do that there too. Because of reasons.
Do what you can. It'll be great.
Man.
Why not?
I'm so angry we lost the video.
Oh my God.
Well, read them.
We will. In English.
Indeed.
Well, I don't know what else there is to say tonight.
I don't either.
There it is.
Way to kill the video, Nick.
It's not my fault. There's like... Shameless Otaku has like a ridiculously good internet connection. So
yeah, it's not Nick's fault. It's entirely on my end.
Can we just film at his house every time?
I'm not going to drive to... I cannot drive like up to the middle of Wisconsin every other Sunday.
All right.
Okay.
And with that, I think it's time to close the show.
I agree.
Remember to subscribe to us on either Stitcher or iTunes and rate and review us in those stores. I am and have always been Trey Dorn.
I am and remain invisible, Nick Izumi.
I will be tap dancing on top of every single car I see tonight if Wisconsin beats the Oregon Ducks. I am Professor Fur.
And this was Nerd and Tie.
Yeah.
Keep on spocking in the free world in case I spoke over Nick there.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, dear.
Except for you.